Blog Talk Radio.
You can join us tonight. This is an opportunity for you voters in Tennessee Senate District 19 to engage with me. The number you can call in the studio live right now on air is 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. And if you're following us on the live stream with Facebook, no doubt you can tell now that we have a guest in the house with us, and that is none other than Mr. Robert Sawyers. I'm going to give him in just a moment an opportunity to introduce himself. As we do normally, I'm going to give you some background context for our discussion tonight and our topic, and then we'll have Mr. Sawyers to come in and introduce himself and tell us about himself and why he's here. What he's here for. As you know, we've had guests come on before. We had a candidate during the Democratic primary, Mr. Thomas, George Thomas, and we've had independent candidate, Mr. John Smith. Tonight we're happy to have a candidate for state governor. Yes, that's state governor, Mr. Robert Sawyers. And again, in just a few minutes, going to tell us a little bit about him. All right, so tonight our topic is how to restore the voting rights of a once-convicted felon. Recently, while on the campaign trail, I was approached by a mother of a once-convicted felon. She stated that her son made some mistakes in life and was convicted for them. But today, he is a new person, she said, and he wants to vote. While he has a good job, she says, and has been working hard to take care of his family for the last 3 years since he's gotten out of prison, his felony record is what keeps him from doing what he wants to do most, and that's to participate in the electoral process. She simply wanted to know, how can he get his voting rights back? So thank you for joining us tonight. That's what we're going to be talking about, how to restore the voting rights of a once-convicted felon. Let me just say to you, the number again to call live is 657-383-0944. You can ask either me and my guest tonight, candidate Sawyers, gubernatorial candidate, and I'll let him talk to you about that a little bit more in just a second. But I want to encourage you that the change you've been looking for is here. The change you're looking for is Reuben Dunn. And that's in Senate District 19. We can use your help to get the message out to over 192,000 people. And we have T-shirts. We have some yard signs if you want to invest in those. Invest in our campaign, our message. for a $100 contribution, we will offer you a T-shirt and our cap. We also offer you a yard sign. Well, maybe that's too big for your budget. You're not able to do that. $50, give you a T-shirt and or cap. And then we will ask you to be one of our campaign precinct therapists. As a district ambassador, the $100 is the larger package. The active supporter, $25, either a T-shirt or a cap. And if you just want to be a general supporter, $10. But we need your help. We need your help, and we're grateful for you following us here, either live on live stream or listening from the podcast platform. All right. With that being said, we're going to ask Mr. Sawyers, thank you for being here, sir. We appreciate you. And ask you to kind of talk to the camera and tell the voters here who you are, what you're running for, and what your purpose is.
Sure. Thank you again, Mr. Rubin. And what I would like to say first, my name is Robert Sawyer Sr. I'm a native of Nashville, Tennessee. Even furthermore, I have the solution to our youth problems that we have been losing for so many years. Even though I am sitting right here and telling you that I have the solution, you have to research and see my background in order to verify what I'm saying to you today. But nevertheless, I want to enlighten you on things that I know personally and things that I have come across to learn about. And I'm running for governor of Tennessee, and I know it seems a little unordinary for just the average black man to be running for governor, but I'm for sure, and I'm for sure that you would be for sure, that I have the knowledge, the education, and the background to support everything that I said I would do. I have an agenda, and my agenda speaks highly on protecting and saving our kids and respecting women. So I guess we would need to get on the topic what Mr. Rubin has for you tonight so we can enlighten you even more on the information where it can better serve you and convince you you need to go to the poll in order to make a change.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for being here. We appreciate that. And feel free to give us a call here again at 657-383-0944 if you want to give us a question or comment. You can do it either via Facebook Live, or you can give us a call and have a dialogue with that number in the studio here tonight live. So one of the things that we met on the campaign trail, and I know that you have all your life have been out, you've been working in Nashville, as you just said, and that you've engaged people. And oftentimes you engage people that may not have the most education, may not be very wealthy and things of that nature, but they count to. They count to. And I appreciate the fact that we discussed some of your platform items, and you explained them to me. What I appreciate most about it is that I'm convinced that you have a sincere desire to address those issues. And, of course, you know, that's why we have, as you know, voters, constituents, the Doctrine for Tennessee Senate campaign, constituent advocacy, is about three things: voter education, voter organization, and then voter participation. And this is why we've invited Mr. Sawyers and other candidates to come, as well as myself, because I want you to be informed. Now, it'd be your choice when you go into the ballot box. It's not my intention to control that or tell anyone how to deal with that. But what I am saying that the more information we have, the better we are in terms of making an educated, informed decision. Now, the topic tonight is how to restore the voting rights of a felon. And again, I want you, this is really your time, so call in. I'll raise our questions. We've got about another 50 minutes here or so. 40 minutes or so. We'll typically 7:45 we wrap up our podcast here. All right, so the real scenario, the mother that I was talking to, and so there are two different levels of government that we're really looking at here. We're looking at the federal level, and all felons are considered to be on a federal level, and there are different classes. Okay, but it's the state that we live in that determines our citizenship and our residency. Hence, the federal government and the state are working together. Once an individual commits a crime, they're tried and convicted on the state level. The state basically sends you through the court system, which are all governed by, again, our federal constitutional criminal justice. Okay? And it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court. If you don't like a decision that was made on the lower court, you can contest that and go all the way up to the Supreme Court. They're all working together. That's the point I want to make. Nonetheless, once you've been convicted, you've had your civil rights remanded or taken away from you as a result of the conviction time that you spent. It's possible, there's a process, and it's possible for you to regain them. But what has to happen is you have to satisfy whatever your sentence is for your offense. And after you satisfy that sentence, it is my understanding that there, from the federal level, there's a period of time that you're to go without having any other charges before you can appeal to the state on the state level for what's called an expungement, which will basically remove your felony conviction. And after you've done your time and you've met all the conditions, either parole or probation and things of that nature. Okay. So what happens is you go through here locally in Davidson County, you can go to the criminal court and the criminal court clerk's office where Howard, the Honorable Howard Gentry heads. He's been really good about going around and working with people to get expungement. I appreciate that for him. Many people are still, I understand that some people have successfully done, and there are people that are benefiting from this option. It is important that you know that you have that option. So as long as you've been clean. Now, in this gentleman's case where it's only been 3 years, it's my understanding that a period of 7 years have to expire, particularly for certain charges. Now, again, I mentioned that there were different classes of felonies. And it's my understanding that for those charges, depending on what your class is and the circumstances, you have that window of time. I'm just going to read to you a little bit. Now, I attended a meeting with the ACLU and the Beacon, which are a liberal group and a conservative group. And it was interesting to me that they're working together to foster legislation that will help provide social justice or criminal justice reform to the extent that when people have done, paid their time and have paid their debt to society, they have another opportunity. So there are people who want to work. Oftentimes that affects you, not only your ability to vote, but to have commensurate employment or meaningful employment, right? That fact, all those things factor in. So they're working to try to, which is good. I'm glad to see conservative and liberal working together. That's a good thing. We need more of that. That's that part. That's absolutely it. So that's a very good thing. And so I said that to say that that's what they're doing, is to make sure people are aware and make sure people go through the process. But we also have to look at the fact that when you come out of incarceration and you go back to the triggering environment that caused you to be incarcerated, you need family support as well. We need other community support to make sure that you can find a different direction to focus on life. Anything you want to say about that?
Yes. I said, going back into the same environment in which you come from and which you contribute to you catching your charges and doing the time, well, then going back to the same environment, that sets a stage of 90% more chances or more likely that you will be a repeat offender.
Absolutely.
So when we then satisfy the court with our charges that we have been convicted of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, if we're going to make a change, we need to make a full change completely.
Right.
And that means that not going back in the same environment that we once was in.
That's true.
This allowed our head to be more freer, more open, to see things as they are, more so than how we think they should be or how we want it to be.
Okay.
I feel like that change is not hard, but opportunity is hard.
Hmm.
So if you're not seeking for other opportunities and trying to find a more reasonable way to live, well, then it's not one out there for you.
Okay.
So this is something just like going to school. You have to work at it.
That's true.
But it's not that hard once you start working toward it.
Gotcha.
And then that's when people are able to give you a helping hand or point you in a better direction so they can see your passion that you don't want to be part of the statistics again.
That's right.
So this is how we withdraw from that type of behavior.
Okay.
Or that being around that influence.
Right.
And all the time it doesn't come from our environment. It can be inside the family.
Well,
and
true.
Sometimes we have to depart from my family in order to find a better way.
So really you're speaking about the whole culture, right? Because when you think about it, if your loved one is arrested or your loved one is assaulted or murdered, that affects it, not just you. That affects the rest of your family and your friends. I believe that there's a what I call a cocktail Sawyer, and it's made up of breakdown in educational attainment. It's comprised of poor health, not only physical health, but social, emotional health as well.
That's right.
And a part of that cocktail, poor academic or economic disparities that face you is a major part of it. And then lastly, it is the social orientation. And what happens is, and when I say social, I'm really talking about crime and things of that nature and those negative influence, illegal activity, and the values to engage in those types of things. That's the cocktail that kills. Everybody's not challenged with this. And I've been saying that in Senate District 19, there are 21 council districts and 47 voting precincts. Every voting precinct may not have the same type of challenge, right?
That's true.
But what we find is that where there is a predominant number of African Americans and there are schools that they attend that are not faring well, where there is high unemployment and poverty, where there are issues or indications of health-related issues, there are a lot of good guys that are running around stressed, okay? And we just accept it as normal and okay. Well, at the end of the day, that factors into some of the criminal activity. And even when they engage with the law enforcement, right, that's a big factor. And sometimes they don't know and families don't know that they have a legitimate mental health issue that is undiagnosed, but yet they're going through life facing it. I'm saying that legislatively what we can do is that we can ensure that we look at current legislation and we can determine if there's need for better or modified, amended legislation that will make sure that those people in those voting precincts, we don't want to exclude those who don't need it, but I think they would agree in the interest of our whole Senate district being healthy and whole, in your case, the state, because you have 96 counties that you are vying for.
95.
That you'll need to,
county, yes, sir.
That you'll need to make your statement and your presence known. So, nonetheless, at the end of the day, what we're saying is that there is a tremendous need to put ourselves in a position legislatively to make a huge difference in the lives of 192,000 folks. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? That's my whole point. And running for office is not a small thing. You know that.
Yes, sir.
And I applaud you. Some people may not agree with your or mine, and I applaud you for being in the way. I appreciate you even having a concern and being about it. Go ahead. You want to say something about that?
Well, I really appreciate that, Senator Root. And to add to that even more,
mm-hmm.
when our people dealing with stress,
mm-hmm.
stress doesn't allow you to work things out positive.
Mm-hmm.
It more so allows you to work things out by any means necessary.
Mm.
So
that sounds like a
street.
from the street.
Well, then, we don't have to put our children in this kind of stressful situation if we pay more closer attention to it. And that doesn't mean that the parent is not paying more close attention to the child. That just means that the child sometimes have a mind that they would like to pursue on their own.
Sure.
And
sure.
it's okay to pursue avenues on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, we don't give them a free pass to do whatever you want to do because there's no structure in that.
Absolutely.
And
right.
we are missing that in our lives,
Absolutely.
In our kids' lives.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of hard for us to direct our kids in that manner when it's hard for us to have structure ourselves.
The grown people you're talking about.
The adults, yes, sir.
The grown people in the room.
So poverty plays a big part of this.
It does.
And
can I say this?
Yes, sir.
We're not, I'm from poverty, and I believe you're from it too, right?
Yes, sir.
So we're not discouraging anybody's character because you come from poverty. We know it, okay? And what we're saying is that there is hope. When people go to church, if you don't pay your tithes and offering, it makes you feel like you're going to go to hell.
Yes.
And if you don't pay your taxes, my uncle named Sam will come after me and take everything I got. Well, when do I get anything from either the church or the government to improve the quality of my life? Now, it's not good enough to say just trust God and to just vote. Those two, that dog will not hunt. That day is over because people are out there on the snatch and grab because, unfortunately, that claim that God is going to fix it, and I'm a preacher now, I'm a pastor. But I realize that that's not practical to think that we can't get up, put our hands to work, and make a difference. That idea that God's going to fix it, but sorry, and that your party is going to look out for you. How's that served so far?
We really are independent. And I'm going to tell the people,
okay.
It doesn't matter what age you are, faith without works
Watch it,
is in vain.
I didn't know you were preaching.
And so we're not coming here to promote a free way of life,
right.
but we're coming to show you how you can pretty much earn a better life
wow.
by putting your vote toward new representation.
Mm.
We're not here to down the other candidate.
Not at all.
And we're not here to try to, I guess, convince you to change your way of living or your way of voting.
Right, your part.
But nevertheless, your loyalty, it shouldn't lie with a party. It should lie with the people. And candidate or our legislators, representative, they loyalty have been lying with the party more so than with the people.
Okay.
So that's the reason why they're not in touch with the people.
I
here I come, and here's Mr. Rubin, where then we are hands-on with the people, and when the people know that you are standing beside them, that can make them feel more stronger, more confident, more self-aligned, and more sure that they can reach out and hold another person hand in poverty because
sure.
we all coming up together.
Sure.
And this is what we want to reflect, that we want to live. We don't want to struggle in trying to live.
Mm.
So
I'm
after my supporters to give their support the room for the Senate 19th District.
Well,
and I really do need this because anybody that's supporting me, well, then, they are looking out for your best interest. And you already know this because we are just alike. I say I'm one of your own, and I really mean that. And what I do not want fame and fortune if my people in poverty is not able to share it with me.
Wow. You know what, Brother Sir, you and I talked about this, and we talked about the fact that we have an uphill journey because we're not traditional politicians.
Yes, sir.
And even to the way you present yourself, you, as they say on the street, you keep the 100. I mean, you keep it real. You understand what I'm saying? Some people scoff at that. But one thing I appreciate about it, I don't believe you're going to ever lie to me. Because I'm a voter, too. When I go in the poll, I'm going to vote for governor. Yes, I am. Now, I'm not trying to... I'm simply saying that I appreciate that. Now, the truth of the matter is, as he pointed out, if you're a Republican, be a Republican. You're a Democrat, be a Democrat. But vote in a way that you know is going to make a difference, you and your neighbors. Well, unfortunately, I've said before, if things were okay in Senate District 19, I wouldn't be running. I'd just be a regular voter as I've been the last 30-some years here in Nashville. But things are not okay. We know they're not. And we know where they're not okay. And now we know why they're not, because unfortunately the leadership we've had, for whatever reason, has failed to bring the solution and the resolution. And that's why we're pushing change 2018. I want to open up the phone lines, if that's okay.
Yes,
they've been open, but I want to encourage you to give us a call here. 657-383-0944. You want to talk to us, we got another about 30 minutes or so, and Mr. Sorges is here. He's running for governor for the state of Tennessee in 2018. So your name will be on the ballot.
Yes, sir. My name has been on the ballot ever since January the 11th.
Okay.
And I'm the only candidate at that time all the way up until April before any candidate has been approved to be on the ballot.
I see. So you've been pushed at the thing,
yes, sir,
for a minute, and you know, I was speaking to a group the other day, and I was saying that we got problems, we need resources and opportunities. I'm going to the Senate to get it, and I ain't playing with it. That's not like where you are. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. So let's talking about the felon. That has such a negative sound and tone to it. And it makes you feel bad when folks start slapping tags on you, you know, classifications or anything. I want people to understand, men and women that have gotten caught up in the criminal justice system. Yes, technically that's what you classify it as, but that don't mean that's who you have to be. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Because how we carry ourselves and even what we do with the worst experience we've been to really determines our growth and our character. And I want you to know that despite all of that, now, I'm an advocate for not only those people that get caught up in a criminal case, but for the victims, too, and the victim's family. We need to resolve the root cause that caused this friction and this conflict in our communities and our neighbors and our voting precincts. And you've heard me talk about this. constituentadvocacy.com is the website. I have a 30-minute video on this in terms of breakdown and where they are, zip code, voting precincts, and specifically in Senate District 19. As we said, you have a much larger to reach and to vote. And again, in Senate District 19, and you got 33 senatorial districts in the area that you're running for. But I said that to say that either way, knowing and being aware of not only what your rights are, how to take advantage of those, is the best way we stay out of trouble, you know, and the best way we provide for ourselves. Even as state senator, I was talking to those people again the other day, and I shared you a video where a young man challenged seven. He said, well, how do you think you're going to do that? And I explained to him, and this is the part, Brother Sawyers, we have to be honest with you.
Yes,
There's no way in the world you can promise, in your case, what, 6 million people in Tennessee or something like that, that you're going to be everywhere all the time for all those people. But when you have a process set up where those people are actively a part of their state government and so forth, and part of their state as constituents and what have you, they're empowered with information and knowledge. It's really not for you to live their life and dictate their life as governor or me as senator, as it is to educate them and orientate them, organize them, so they can do it for themselves. As I'm doing, and you'll find this on the website, constituentadvocacy.com, is I am encouraging, once elected, and we're waiting for January to be seated, I will have a think tank or a special group of people that will be going out to all 47 voting precincts to put on paper exactly what it is that they expect of me as their senator. So that when the budgetary process comes around, monetarily or economically, their interests will be heard and recognized in my advocacy for what the budget should be allocated for the next. I think that that's the best way. And through a concept on my website called Precinct Government Council, voters are able to organize themselves on the voting precinct level.
That sounds good, because in order to help someone, you have to know what the need is first.
There you go.
And if they submit their needs, then we can better help them in a more, timely manner.
That's right. That's right. Lady told me, she said, "Now you don't do that, I'm going to take my cane." So I'm saying that to say that I like what you're saying. We got to keep it real. Got to keep it 100. And if you're lying to people to get their vote, guess what? They can look for nothing from you. And I've been a voter myself, and that's all I've seen. With all due respect, now, the truth of the matter is we need to change. I mean, okay, we done that already. That's over with. We're ready to move on. And so that's what we encourage you. Let's see. 657-383-0944. Let's check Facebook to see if we got anybody. Well, no, we don't have anybody shooting any questions so far. I mean, you could do so, and we still have about another 23 minutes or so before we wrap up. Let me turn the floor over to you. Is there anything else you want to, and while we wait on anyone to either call us or to give us a Facebook.
Yes. Okay. When you
had some literature that you wanted to share.
When you go to my Facebook page, mm-hmm. if you read the literature I personally wrote, where then you will see how the elected officials, you don't never see them. You hear about them, but you don't never see them in the community until it's voting time.
Mm.
That's when they shows up.
Mm.
So this is part of the work that I'm speaking of, that this is how they have been getting your vote, because this is who you used to seeing on TV or hearing on the radio. But I'm telling you now, that's not the way to vote. You cannot get no history on that person or what they're doing in the community if you never see them. This is the reason why I've been working in the community the last 20 years without you. So I know about what our youth need, even more so. I know what our adults need, too, and I'm speaking mainly to the ones in poverty, because I know the ones outside in the higher class, the middle class, they don't give me a ear as though maybe they should, but they have family members, they have friends that's still in poverty. And if you're always wanting people to look up to you, well, then that's fine, but this is what I want to change, where everybody can look at each other parallel,
mm.
because we all living in this world together, and we need to work together. I have Tennessee carriers about, pretty close to 7 million residents. And what I need, say the truth, I need all the residents, Republicans and Democrats, because I'm going to do something for the people and citizens in Tennessee that haven't been done. We are going to open up some books, and we are going to see some records, and where we can see where the money's been going, because it doesn't make sense in having almost 7 million people in Tennessee, but yet and still you got 50% of them below the poverty line. This is unacceptable, and it's been like this for many years. And you want to disencourage the youth and the way they're going about living, but you have no alternative for them. So like we said in the old days, make a way, you got to find a way. And if you have to fake it before you make it, well, then you just got to do that. So that's what keeps people in the streets and going around in circles, because this is the only thing that we have to bring us up.
Sure.
And I want to change that perspective. They shouldn't have to live like that. They shouldn't have to see their mothers and fathers living like that. Matter of fact, never have anyone been working and keeping families together as a whole. Without the father being in the household, well then, yes, sons and daughters is mistreated.
Wow.
And we need to have an oversight of that and not be so quick to judgmental, because money from the father isn't coming through the court system, because there's many fathers out there still support their kids, but they don't feel like they have to check in with the state in order to support their kids, and they really shouldn't, especially if they're going to faithful. And that woman, the mother, she knows.
Mm-hmm.
And even now when she informed the justice system that the father is doing what they're supposed to be doing, this is not acceptable to them. So they still is being violated. And this is not a crime being committed, mm-hmm. but this is something that happens that it doesn't have to, because it's a way that we can solve that problem, and kids don't have to do without their parents, mother or father. Even when they are incarcerated,
mm-hmm.
well, then I think that we can find a solution to where they can still be part of their lives.
That's interesting, because I heard of one area where there was a state that was working with that, and they were trying to bring groups in. Well, there are some things to be worked out because of the nature of security and prison or what have you, but to provide dads more opportunities to have telecommunication with children, encouraging them to do their homework. And I think those are some things that we should really explore more. I agree
yes.
with you.
Yes,
yes. And I think that's it right there. There is a breakdown in the family dichotomy, and really, if you don't put your work in there, if you don't allocate the resources and you don't have the right policies to foster that, you know, it's just conversation. And, you know, not much is getting done. So.
Our kids are still struggling.
And that's absolutely right.
So I want to get you a picture of my agenda.
Okay.
This is a picture of my agenda. Nevertheless, well then, this agenda will help the whole Tennessee out of poverty.
Mm.
But we cannot do it if we can't get you to the polls. We need an overwhelmingly support, not when election officially open. We need you all to turn out at this early voting,
okay.
and to get us all the way in a good position where we can take this thing. And nevertheless, we have a primary coming up. October the 2nd at Centennial Park at the picnic shelter beside the train at 10 o'clock Tuesday. And we are going to unify our party where we are taking this election 2018, and we're taking our kids and our parents to another level where they can hold on to their homes, they can hold on to their kids, and they can stop committing crime, even more so, this social injustice, it's going to be a thing of the past, because we feel like people should be treated equal by the law enforcement as well as law enforcement wanting us to respect them.
Sure.
And I'm not a stranger to the law, and the law is a stranger to me.
Y'all
it's
know
the reason why
okay.
I'm talking to you like this.
Okay.
And
all right.
They can verify this, but
sure.
if I can change, I'm for sure anyone else out there, they can make a change too if it's going to benefit them in a better way.
Yeah. And, you know, I like what you said because there are a lot of, excuse my street tonight, young cats out here on the block. They think this is the, yes, this is all that the world has offered. One of the things we can do, and that lady told me, she said, you know what, these black men need to step up and help. I said, well, that may be true. That may be true. But you got to understand that there are barriers too, because no black man want to get caught up in the legal system trying to help. You know?
That's right.
But culturally, and it's not just black, but Hispanics, white,
right.
and everybody, same thing applies. It's that family, man. And when you can fix those things, we can rid crime and things of that nature in our neighborhoods. And it should be something that all of us, white, black, Democrat, Republican, everybody's concerned about.
They ever do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. You know what? Man, look at time. we got a call here. 314-4644. Welcome to Open Mic with Ruben Dockman. Our guest tonight is a gubernatorial candidate for Tennessee. Question, comment?
Yeah, I got a question and a comment. One, I was listening to you. These
yes, sir.
Programs and things you've been throwing out there. But my question is, one, how are you going to pay for this?
Okay.
One.
That's a great. I appreciate. Go ahead. Let me let you finish.
And,
because I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah, and you know we're not supportive of raising taxes. And another one is on the issue of education. What's your position? Are you supportive of school choice with vouchers, where a parent can put their child in the educational environment, which is conducive to their long-term goals of that child's academic performance?
Okay. You want to address that first? Sorry. And then I'm going to come back to you, Carl.
Yes, sir. How we're going to pay for this is we need new revenue coming in. And like I said, we need to open up the books and see who's paying their fair share and who's not, because this has a major part to do with our economy. So this is what we need, and I have the solution to new revenue coming in. Nevertheless, on our school issue, I was just talking to the school this evening about that problem as far as it's just not academic, but it's also athletic-wise, too. We need for them to let the kids be more involved in recreational things because this helps stimulate the mind, makes them more positive, makes them want to earn what they get instead of looking for a handout or going out here trying to take something. But when you turn these kids away, well, then you don't get a second chance that, oh, we'll bring you back next year. See, it's too late then. You have already turned the child off, and this what turned our kids turned to the streets. Because the streets doesn't reject them in that type of manner. So I'm working with the school on that situation as we speak now.
Okay. Well, let me just say, caller, I appreciate your question, to your first question relative to parent choice. Absolutely. I support any opportunities for parents to be able to control the assurance that their children get a quality education. If that involves charter schools, that involves vouchers. Now, of course, you know, that varies from state to state. In Tennessee, that hasn't come. It may come up in the next legislature. I don't know. But I want to empower the constituents to know what their options are. And as they come to the conclusion of what's best for them, that's what I'll represent in the state Senate. To your other question, how you pay for it. I have an economic piece, and I'm going to refer you to my website, to get full details on this because we have just a few more minutes before this this we conclude here. Constituentadvocacy.com, and when you look on there, you'll find in those platform issues that one of the things I'm looking to do is to, I believe we have the resources. I'm not so sure that state resources and local dollars are properly used. I don't think we need to raise taxes. I just think we do need to look very carefully at how they're used, because a lot of money has been spent, but there's been no return in terms of positive, proactive outcomes. And if it's not working, let's find those who know how to work it. I believe there are a lot of mom and pop nonprofits who know how to best go deep into the voting precincts with the most problems in terms of need for tutoring, social orientation and support and what have you, and you don't have to come up with new taxes. As well as mm-hmm. there are a lot of young cats that have the ability to create their own businesses and create other jobs that add to the tax revenue, locally and statewide. So
let me ask you another question. Now, Tennessee, you have ports there, don't you? You have a port there in Memphis, don't you? Seaport where you unload ships. Now, all the seaports in the United States need to be modernized. Now, would you agree that this administration has talked about imposing tariffs? Because those large cranes that they use to unload those ships, those cranes are foreign made. They don't make them stateside like they used to be. Would you be for not only those apparatuses, but all the apparatuses that are used in your seaport to be American-made, thereby putting Americans back to work, and favoring this administration as it imposed tariffs on foreign-produced goods that's coming in so cheap that American manufacturers don't feel a need for starting up those type of operations?
I appreciate that question, and let me just say that I'll be frankly honest with you. I would like to do a little bit more research. That's an area that I'm not fully versed as I like to be, but as a general principle, I would agree with making it easier on America, the American economy, and to have a fair system. I have paid some attention to the administration, the presidential administration, what they're saying. And I've taken the character of the person out of it, and I've asked myself, what's practical, right? And if it will create more opportunities and it will allow us to have more resources to create jobs as well as businesses in America, I'm all for that. But again,
That's a good response there, sir. All right, I'm going to continue to listen.
Hey, I appreciate you calling, and we
thank you again, too.
Mr. Sorges, thank you as well. Thanks again, caller. We appreciate you. All right, well, man, look at the time. Mr. Sawyer, you done run up the clock, man. as we wind down, let me see if we have someone on Facebook that has posted a question. Okay. Any final thoughts? Tell us. Now, remind us again about your event that you announced it, that you gave us.
Okay.
Dates, time, and so forth.
The event is bringing the Independent Party primary to the people, where the people can see it live at Centennial Park in Nashville, Tennessee. The picnic shelter next to the train station at 10 o'clock Tuesday, October the 2nd,
okay.
2018.
Okay. And that's at 10 o'clock. October 2nd, that will be next week. That'll be this coming Tuesday. Okay. All right. Well, I certainly applaud you and wish you much success on your endeavor, sir. And I look forward to, Lord willing, to see you perhaps in the legislature. You know the governor has a sword, and the House of Representatives and the Senate, they got the purse string. You bring the sword right, and we'll give you the purse string.
Yes, sir. And one more thing
I'd like
to say.
Yes, sir.
This is to the farmers here in Tennessee.
Mm.
I want you to know, as governor, I would take up and pay their tariff tax. All you have to do is just help me to get rid of people hungry in Tennessee. And that's it. Mm. No strings attached.
Okay. That's aggressive. That's aggressive. Okay. With that, we're going to wind up. Thank you for following us on Facebook and those of you perhaps that have listened on the podcast platform, and if you review this later, you can give me a call on my campaign. My campaign headquarters is 615-478-4233. Shoot me an email at PD, that's Tony David, 19, CAC, Charles Alfred Charlie, at gmail.com. That's PD19CAC at gmail.com. We'll be happy to answer your, any other questions you might have. Their phone number again is 615-478-4233. We're grateful again for your participation tonight. We'll be back next Friday. We'll be doing this all the way through the election cycle. And we're going to have some other announcements for you. Keep October 20th in your mind. October 20th. What?
October 20th.
Yeah, no, you keep October 2nd. I want you to keep October the 20th in your mind, because that's a big, that's a day of change, and that's where you have the ability to show the power you have as a constituent of this great state of Tennessee. So just thank you again for joining us.
I appreciate that, Senator.
We appreciate that. We appreciate that. You're speaking on things that are not as though they were. That's right. That's what the apostle Paul said. Again, we thank you guys for everything, and we're going to let KP and JoJo will take us home here as we get ready to get out of here.